Welcome to WX Nation's podcast from Fort Worth, Texas. Visit WXNation.com, the site for all to enjoy, man, woman, and child. Now here's the webmaster.
WX Nation podcast number 5 is here for August 1st, 2005. I'm Bill Young, webmaster of WXNation.com, coming to you from Fort Worth, Texas. Welcome to another edition of the WX Nation Wire podcast. Going to start off with news, as usual, and we'll start from the Tropical Prediction Center, where there really is no news. Nothing really forming out there. Looks like it's going to be a little while before we get to Harvey. As you know, we're already in a record, what appears to be a record hurricane season in terms of the number of storms that have already formed. Now, it's kind of hard to tell before 1965. There may have been little storms that had formed out in the Gulf or something that weren't recorded at that time. But it's pretty safe to say this is one of the most active hurricane seasons we've seen in a very long time. If 15 storms form this year, as they did last year, it still would be a rare event, according to a Newsday article that I've got a link to. In the past 75 years, only 7 seasons have seen 15 or more significant tropical systems, those years being 33, 36, 69, 95, and then more recently the year 2000, 2003, and last year. So, we may use up all of the names this year. Astronauts test repairs, and a mission is extended for one day. This from NASA. NASA's up there. They had a spacewalk on early Saturday, I guess it was. And they're working on the International Space Station. They're extending their stay one more day. As you know, they launched on July 26th. And a couple little problems they noticed with a new cam that was placed on the fuel tank. But hopefully everything is well and they will return safely. That insulating foam that has caused difficulties for NASA has actually been something that's caused difficulties for them since 1997, according to a new Newsweek story that's coming out for this week. That's when the agency stopped using Freon and for environmental reasons. And interesting little mention in that story says that in what now seems like a premonition, a NASA engineer reported in 1997 that the newly formulated foam that's been made since 97 could easily pop off the tank and damage the shuttle's heat-resistant tiles. That's what happened, of course, to Columbia as it disintegrated over Texas on February 1st, 2003. Lots of space news going on. Astronomers say they found the 10th planet, but that claim is being contested. The size is not the issue, but it's the definition of what a planet is. It's the first time that an object has been found in our solar system of this size since the discovery of Pluto 75 years ago. Late this last week, my coworker Frank at KXAS-TV, mostly his thing, but a couple of us have helped out with him, in this special coverage. We've been working on many slideshows and videos showing what happened at Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport 20 years ago this Tuesday, August 2nd. It's the 20th anniversary of the largest crash in Texas history, the 9th largest crash in U.S. history in terms of fatalities. It was the crash of Delta Flight 191. On August 2nd, 1985, it crashed into Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport, killed 136 people on the plane, one motorist on Highway 114. What happened, as it was coming in, the pilot noticed lightning coming out of a newly forming storm, and the control tower apparently had told him at one point to go around it, but he came in, and as he did, a microburst, which is a sudden violent downdraft of air over a small area that comes down and then spreads out and small vortexes of air can also be included around this. Well, this was basically happening right in front of where they were coming down. And when they came down, they noticed that their speed was moving up, and then they were trying to bring it down, and then the plane came down, hit the field just before Highway 114, came back up and then down right onto a Honda, smashing that car and killing the occupant. And then at that point, started veering off to the left, hit two giant water tanks at DFW Airport, and the tail had torn off the plane, and that's really where the only survivors were. So it was a major event, and something that has helped. Now these kind of things are averted, thankfully. But unfortunately, it was a dark day in Dallas-Fort Worth. That information, story, the pictures, and all that are linked. Some more sad news involving Boy Scouts. 13-year-old Boy Scout killed when lightning struck their tarp, and it killed the troop leader instantly, and it claimed the life of the 13-year-old boy. Six others were injured. And, of course, this comes just days after four Scout leaders were electrocuted while putting up a tent in Virginia. Let's discuss the heat that has been the big story, one of the biggest stories in weather in the month of July. We will start in Phoenix, where the latest information I have from last Monday is that the heat-related illnesses count in the Phoenix area has climbed to 24 people. Now, lots of 100 and teens were seen across Arizona and Las Vegas and Nevada, and it was just it's been a very hot month for the West. Also, it's going to be one of the hottest ever Julys and Junes recorded in several eastern cities, according to the Northeast Regional Climate Center at Cornell University. Now, the statewide average for New York in June was 69.5 degrees, and that's 5.5 degrees warmer than normal. Some of the cities that have seen all-time two-month records: Syracuse at 73.8 degrees, Buffalo 73.6, Albany 73.5, Utica 71.7, and on it goes. Another place that got very, very warm, almost record all-time heat: Chicago. And the strange thing I thought about this was, this thing happened July 24th. 102 degrees was the official high at O'Hare, and at Midway it reached 104. Those are the actual temperatures, not the heat indexes. Heat indexes were up close to 107, almost 110. At one time they were saying it might have been as high as 115, didn't reach that high. But the interesting thing I thought was, I delved into the archives to check out what the all-time high was so I could post this in the wire, and it turned out it was 105. So Midway got very close. O'Hare was close enough. 105 degrees, but the date, it was also July 24th in 1934. That also happened to be the day when it got the warmest in Detroit, and I believe that was also 105 degrees. So that was kind of interesting. 104, 102, that's temperatures that we see here in Dallas-Fort Worth. But surprisingly, Dallas-Fort Worth area has only reached 113. That has been our all-time high. A little bit higher humidity, part of the reason for that. Now, southeastern South Dakota got awfully close to that. It was 109 degrees, and 110, actually, I believe, in one location. But I know it was 109 in Mitchell, South Dakota, also around that same time. So, very, very warm July. And the tornadoes, a lot of them seem to be elsewhere. Tornado worst in 25 years hits Birmingham, England. The last time the city was struck by a tornado on a similar scale was 1931. One woman was killed in that tornado. And now, speaking of tornadoes, let's move on to weird news. A storm chaser has built an armored Ford F-50 to drive into tornadoes. That was his wish, and he's gotten it. It's an interesting-looking thing. You can see a picture of it. You can see it from the inside, even. On WX Nation Wire and in the podcast notes. This one was also picked up by Capital Weather. It's a funny story. Might be happening over the next week, because there's not much doing right now. But the weather service out in, or the Weather Bureau out in Australia, has been warned about a sleep warning. It's been issued to forecasters after an apparent outbreak of snoozing on the job. So be on alert, folks. You've been warned. Well, they've been warned. Another weird item. Strange, colorful cloud forms over the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. This one formed over the Fort Worth area. I was there to capture some pictures. Unfortunately, I didn't learn about it until a little bit later on in this event, which really lasted for maybe about an hour. And I was near the end of this, and clouds started moving in at this point. I just barely got a picture in before a giant cloud overtook this thing. Anyways, to explain this more in more detail, it was, what's the date here? July 22nd, in the noon hour. If you were in the right place at the right time, Fort Worth area, you would see this very strange cloud formation. And there have been lots of explanations, everything from Sundog to this was a plane that had dumped some fuel and the sun was reflecting off of it. But basically it looked like a rainbow in a cloud, and took on different forms and shapes as it moved along. My picture was taken near the end of this event when it really just looked like a contrail. There was an explanation brought in that was posted in a blog link that I have. Les Crowley, I guess, who's an expert in atmospheric optical phenomena, he says the colors are fragments of an ice halo called a circumhorizon arc. The arc is formed by sunlight refracted through horizontal hexagonal plate-shaped ice crystals in high cirrus cloud. So there you have it. And then he's got a link there in that that blog entry. The blog entry can be found through mine, a couple of pictures that I took. Indeed, weird news in the sky. Now, in the last podcast, dated July 13th, I had mentioned, or maybe it was two. It must have been the one from the first. I guess it was two podcasts ago. I mentioned that I was going to be putting up the personal weather station review for the Davis Vantage Pro 2 Weatherbug Backyard personal weather station I'd received in late June, and I finally got that up. The date is July 16th, if you're looking for that, and I'll also throw that link into the show notes. There you'll find my extensive review and some pictures and just some information and some little tips maybe in there as well if you're in the process of getting one of these and want to find out how to toss it into the Weatherbug Backyard system and also put it up on your own site, those kind of things. That information can be found in the show notes. This is something that has interested me since, I guess, the show Sightings, which ran on Fox in the early 90s. Man, I used to love that show. some weird stuff they covered. And one of them was the Marfa Lights in Texas. This is out in West Texas. Now, I live in Texas, but it doesn't mean it's anywhere close. It's about 8 hours away from where I am. But I'd like to take my wife and go down there for maybe a weekend. My coworker Frank suggests just going out on a whole trip out to Roswell and then head out over here. But I don't know. I think I'm going to head out though, one of these days, to see the Marfa Lights. These are sparkling and dancing lights that go across the Mitchell Flat towards the Chinati Mountains, and it's confused and attracted people to this just remote area, which is east of Marfa, Texas, for well over a century. Before cars, they were seeing these lights. There was speculation, I guess, in the early times that, or before cars were around, that these were campfires or signal fires. Whatever they are, they just keep happening. And there's an interesting article. Again, you'll find this in the notes. And you might find it interesting to see what some of the theories are on the Marfa lights. And that's the podcast for August 1st, 2005. You can find all of this information in the podcast notes, also on the WX Nation Wire. And all of the latest updated stories can be found there at wxnation.com/blog. Until next time, please enjoy this closing music from Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com, and I will talk to you next time.